It's birth, it's life, it's renewal, encouragement for the day. It is the Word of God, and it's right where we find ourselves today on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Make it a point to join us as we study God's Word together. Coming to you from United Reformed Church here in Linden, this is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. We welcome you to the broadcast and would invite you to join us for the next few moments as we open up God's Word, studying God's Word that we might find life. With this edition of Abounding Grace now, again from United Reformed Church here in Linden, once again, our teacher and pastor, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, we thank you for tuning in today. We are excited to bring this radio broadcast to you as we come together and discuss current issues in Christianity, theology, Christian life, doctrine. And today, of course, Pastor Wes Bradenhoff and I are going to open the Word of God and discuss with you the parable of the sower. Wes, this is a very exciting parable. In fact, Jesus said that this parable was so important when the disciples asked to have it explained. He said, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all parables?" And so immediately we're struck with the fact that whatever this parable means, all other parables flow from understanding this particular parable.
That's right, Chris. And I think we also need to take into account, you know, the particular time at which this parable was spoken in the first place. In Mark chapter 3, we read about Jesus appointing 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. So this is at the beginning of Jesus' ministry at a time when the word is beginning to be preached. And Jesus is providing a template also for understanding what people are going to do with that word as it's preached.
That's exactly right. This is explaining to us the kingdom of heaven. And of course, in this first parable, Jesus gets at the whole approach to those who hear the message of the kingdom. So we're looking particularly at those who have the word of God preached to them. So for instance, in Mark 4, Jesus begins and he says the first word is listen. Behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside and the birds of the air came and devoured it up. Now, when we go to the explanation later on in the parable, this is what he says. The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Now, that's a fascinating inclusion there, that the first sort of soil that this seed lands on, and we can picture a farmer in this time reaching his hand in his pouch, casting seeds over the soil. Some of them fall along the path. They don't even hit the soil. And Jesus is talking about a particular kind of heart that sits and hears the word preached, and it does nothing.
Right.
Satan immediately comes, his heart is hardened, and takes away all that was heard.
Yeah. And I think the important thing to realize is that the word has been preached, and it's the soil type that makes the difference here and throughout this parable. And so also here, you know, these people who are like the seed sown by the wayside, they have also heard the preaching of the word, but that word doesn't penetrate. It doesn't find any roots.
Right, and that just explains for us, Wes, that, you know, we can be praying for people for a long time. You know, how many people have we known? We just don't understand why they've heard the message over and over and over, and they continue to harden their heart against it. Well, Jesus is explaining that here.
Mm-hmm.
It has landed upon a hard heart, a path that really the heart is still under the dominion and power of the devil. It has not yet been brought out of the kingdom of darkness and conveyed into the kingdom of light.
Mm-hmm.
So, the second type of soil he describes here, he says in Mark chapter 4, verse 5, some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And Jesus describes that one by saying, these likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so they endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble.
We've all seen that too. People who, when they hear the gospel for the first time, they get very excited, and it's almost like they're running on emotions. They have an emotional high, and you know, when the hard times come, as inevitably they do for believers, you know, Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. The Christian life, you know, believing in Christ is not a way to make your life easier. Your life gets more difficult when you believe in Christ. And so those persecutions and difficulties are bound to come. And when they do, those who are this particular soil type, they fall away.
Well, and I think we've seen this on many different levels, but I think one particular one that comes to mind, Wes, is something that has been an American phenomenon, but is crusade meetings,
right,
where you get some sort of music, some sort of powerful evangelist up who really touches the heart with something exciting that's life-changing, a message, and immediately they receive it. They walk the aisle, they say the prayer, they sign on the dotted line, and they're excited about Christianity, but they have not heard the message of Jesus. You have to be willing to count the cost. You have to repent. You have to turn from your lifestyle. And so when they're persecuted or tribulation comes because they're confronted with leaving their past, they're not willing to do it.
Yeah, I think someone has once described that as a rape of the emotions. And what such a rape gives birth to is not true spiritual life.
Right, and of course, I would imagine this makes some people question the whole doctrine of the perseverance of the saints. But the beautiful thing about the parable of the sower is Jesus is explaining for us these mysteries, and that there are different types of hearts in his kingdom. That just because one says they believe, you know, not all who some are going to come on that day and say, "Lord, Lord," it doesn't mean they genuinely have a saving faith.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and I think the important thing to realize in this parable of the sower is that there is a call to each one of us to be sure that we are the correct soil type, that we are not these particular soil types, but that we hear the word in the right way.
So the third type of soil here that Christ references in Mark chapter 4, verse 7, and some seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Now, Jesus connects in the very next section by saying, now these are the ones sown among the thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful.
Well, there's a lot there. I mean, we talk about the cares of this world. What are those? Well, you think about any number of things, right? Your family, you could think of employment obligations, you could think of cultural influences and so forth. All kinds of things that are of this world that can distract you away from the gospel, and so that the word is choked when you hear it and will not bear no fruit in your life. And then Jesus also talks about the deceitfulness of riches here, Chris, and I think that's a very interesting expression, deceitfulness of riches. That means that riches and wealth lie to us. They tell us lies. And what are the sorts of lies that riches and wealth tell us? And that's something that we really need to think about in our culture, in our day, being Christians in this kind of a, you know, we talk about a recession right now, that things are, you know, very difficult economically, and that's true. But we're still far more comfortable than 95% of the people who live in this world. We still live in the lap of luxury, even if these are hard economic times. Relatively speaking, you know, and we need to think then about how the ways in which riches lie to us. And I think one of the ways is that riches tells us that, you know, we have it made. We can do it on our own.
Right. They provide a false sense of happiness.
Right.
It's a false sense of happiness. And I think, you know, Matthew Henry looked at this at one time and said, you know, this is especially prominent in outward times of prosperity in the church. But I think what's interesting here, Wes, also in this particular soil, is that these are not ones that particularly fall off the path. They're still present.
Right.
What does it say? It chokes it so that they're unfruitful in the life of the church. There's no growth. They're just there.
Mm-hmm.
They're just there. And so their hearts and their priorities, I mean, this is why Christ said, you cannot serve God and mammon.
Right. And it's difficult for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Difficult. Not impossible, but difficult.
And the difficulty is because it's, as that rich young ruler came to Christ, it's easy to put these things before Christ.
Yeah.
And that just shows the great need of Christ to do all the work of changing the heart.
Yeah. No. And I think, you know, just to add on to this, you know, when Jesus talks about the deceitfulness of riches, that should also warn us against all this health, wealth, and prosperity preaching that's out there. Jesus talks about the deceitfulness of riches. He doesn't talk about riches in a positive way here. He's saying these things lie to us. And so when we have Christian preachers who claim that, you know, this is God's will for us, I'd say be careful.
Right. The whole perspective is these things are blessings from the Lord. We use them for His glory.
Right.
Not the advancement of our causes.
But we also are circumspect about wealth and riches, realizing the various warnings that exist in the Bible, including here in the parable of the sower, about riches, that these things can distract us from the gospel.
That's right. So Jesus gives us this good soil, the final soil. But the other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop and sprang up, increased and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And he concludes that by saying, "But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold."
That's right. And the message of the parable of the sower is, be the good soil. Because, you know, there are some people who listen to this parable in a fatalistic way, and they think that your soil type is like your blood type, that you cannot change it. No, Jesus tells this parable so that people will hear it and that they will endeavor to hear the word rightly, that they will accept the word of the gospel immediately and exclusively and joyfully.
Right, and there's this great emphasis in the scripture, and I don't think we give enough attention to this in the church today, upon hearing the word of God. You know, you think of what the apostle said, and time and time again, even in the book of Hebrews, we must give the most earnest heed to the things which we have heard, mm-hmm. lest we drift away. And he contrasts that with Israel, hearing the word in the wilderness, but not mixing it with faith.
That's right.
We must come to hear the word with believing hearts in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is our only hope. And that is why we preach this gospel at our churches week in and week out. We trust this radio broadcast was a blessing to you. And may the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.
Studying God's Word that we might grow in our affection and love for Christ. This has been Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We come to you each and every day for a short time that we might study God's Word together, that we might grow in His grace and His amazing love for us. If you have questions or comments, as always, we stand ready to do our best to answer them. We're at 360-318-0429. Again, you can reach us at 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. You can find out a bit more about us, United Reformed Church here in Linden, who we are, what we believe, worship opportunities, and the like, at lindenurc.com. Now, that's our website where we even have some of the past messages as preached by Pastor Chris Gordon. They're available for you to listen to. Again, lindenurc.com. And then, as always, you're welcome to join us for worship. Our service times are at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. We meet at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden, Washington. For directions, either go to our website, lindenurc.com, or again, call 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. We thank you for joining us today and look forward to seeing you next time for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.